Good morning and greetings in Jesus' precious name. I'm so thankful I can gather together with the saints and worship the Lord this morning. His mercies certainly are true and new every day of our life. I just so thankful that we can be accepted in the kingdom of heaven. And I was reminded of that here the other week. I got a phone call. I forget the state that came up on my phone. I had it in my head, I forget. It was out west somewhere, and I thought it was probably a telemarketer, and I kind of answered it that way. I just said hello, and wasn't my typical answering the phone. And this gentleman started talking, and he said he's calling. He found my number in the church directory, and he wonders if he could read a Bible verse to me. And I said, sure. And so he went on to read a Bible verse, and he said, I just want to give you my testimony. He said, I'm a 72-year-old man. And he said, I'm so thankful that I can be a Christian today. He said, I served myself all my life. I was selfish and served an ungodly, lived an ungodly life. And he said, I just needed somebody to share this Bible verse with and to thank God that God accepts me. And he said, I can't really believe that God accepts me. He said, I lived my life ungodly all these years, and here I'm 72 years old and God accepts me and loves me and I can be a Christian. And we went on to talk for a little while, and I could tell the man was very authentic. He was real. And he said, we don't live close to an Anabaptist church, but he said, I believe the Anabaptist people in this nation are the people that are endeavoring to live out the Bible, endeavoring to be faithful and to be make these practical the practical teachings of God's word real in their life. He said, so my wife and I, we're planning to move. Our house is for sale, and we're going to move to Iowa, I think he said, to a Mennonite church. And he went on to talk about the Mennonite church, and he said, it's a Mid-Atlantic church. And I said, sure, I know Mid-Atlantic people. And after a while, he said, well, my phone's ringing, I need to go. And I hung up, and I'm like, wow. What was that all about? Where did he get my number? Apparently he was online and looked up the church directory and just dialed a number. And I was so blessed. And as I thought about that, we talked long enough. He said, you were probably raised in a Mennonite church, Anabaptist. I said, yes, I was. But I said, I still needed Jesus. Just like you need Jesus. We all needed Christ. And I just, as I thought about that and thinking about that phone call and his gratefulness for what God did in his life, and that God accepts him in the sunset years of life after he serves himself for so many years. Am I grateful this morning for what God has done for me? Are you grateful? I trust we are. You can open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And I just want to read a few verses here. Verses 1 through 3, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, this message is not necessarily about faith. I want to talk about heroes, but I picked out this chapter because my Bible says the roll call of the heroes of faith. It says, now the faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Then it goes on and begins to talk about the heroes of faith and the roll call of the heroes of faith. The other year, my wife and I were in Florida for a few days, and we toured the Space Center, Kennedy Space Center. Very interesting place to tour, and found it very, very interesting and enjoyable. And then towards the end of our tour, there was a building that I wasn't sure if we were going to take the time to go in, but we had sufficient time to go tour the building. And on the front it says Heroes and Legends, United States Astronaut Hall of Fame. And so we went in, and I'm glad we did, because it gave me a message. And we walked in and as we walked in the entrance area, there were big screens on the wall, and it had audible voices, people talking and talking about their heroes through life. And it named presidents and singers and parents and grandparents and mothers and so on. And they talked about how those people influenced their choices in life, and they were just talking and sharing. And the reason they did that is to inspire us to pay attention to people and their influence. And also to realize that people do influence us. Somebody is following us. We're somebody's hero this morning. You may think that, well, nobody pays attention to you, but somebody is influencing, you're influencing somebody. And so they had this on the screens, and the focus was to inspire people to consider entering into the space program and go to college and how you affect people and so on. And the disciplines that go along with the space program, you know, it's huge disciplines those people make. There's a lot of unknowns when you think of a space program, and you think of strapping into a space shuttle and shooting off into space. You don't know if you're going to come back or not. You don't know the outcome. And a lot of things in life, we don't know the outcome, but it seems like that takes it over and above. I couldn't find myself doing that. But being committed to a cause and following through until it's complete makes people heroes. There's people that were committed to a cause, and they would go into the space program, into the space shuttle and whatever, and they were committed to a cause and they were able to complete the job, and they're heroes today. A hero is a person who influences our goals and choices, they impact who we are today. Just think about, if we just pause for a few moments and think about your life and who impacted you the most. We have human relationships. Jesus impacts our life. That's one thing I miss when I listen to those people talk about their heroes and the people that influenced them. They weren't godly people that influenced them. They didn't talk about Jesus. They didn't talk about the Word of God. There was another building that we went in that gave recognition to the astronauts that were in the space shuttles that blew up. The Challenger blew up 73 seconds after it took off, and it had that was the one that had the school teacher in and a different other people. But as we stood in that room and we looked at, and they had little booths that gave recognition to each one of those astronauts that lost their life. And they had in those little booths things that were meant a lot to them, that were valuable to them, different careers and different things that they, you know, a little bit like we have things that through life that we kind of gather that are valuables to us and they mean something to us. You know, we have our Bibles, you know, that are valuable to us and we write our names in, and they're very valuable. Well, we came to this one booth, and there was a Bible in that booth, and it was opened up. And there was a verse underlined. And immediately I knew that man, the Bible meant something to him. There was no other booth that had a Bible in. Now, I just imagine that, I don't know that man's personal life. But just imagine the thousands and probably millions of people that tour that place and go through that and they see this booth and there's a Bible there. Because that was meaningful to that man. That astronaut that lost his life. It just told me something about him immediately. If it would have been some rock picture or rock group there, that would have told me something. We're talking about heroes. And we have the story in Hebrews 11 of the heroes. And as you read those stories and you read those names, you connect them with a life choice and you connect them with a story that tells you something about them. God has a hall of fame. God has his heroes. The world has their heroes. You know, if you read these names. I don't know. Most of these people didn't know the outcome of following God until it was complete. Now, we do have God. God does say that if you do this and that, this will be the outcome. But in many cases, you know, they stepped in faith, and later on they knew the outcome. I don't think these heroes of faith in the Bible served God so they could be recognized, so they could be, some library could be built for them and have their name on the library and that this is their accomplishments. That's not what these people serve God for. These people serve God because they wanted to obey Him and love Him and follow His commandments. Now back to the building that we stepped into at the last part of our tour that talked about heroes and legends. After we left that room where they were talking about their heroes, we entered into another large room where they had individual booths. And I wish I could have spent more. We ran out of time. I wish I could have spent more time there. I wish I would have had another 2 hours. But the place closed. But in those individual booths, they had character traits named, and there was 9 of them. And the purpose was is to identify character traits that qualified somebody to be an astronaut. I was quite amazed, because these character traits actually were character traits that I can find in the Bible. And here are these people with a worldly ambition were connecting character traits to make a successful astronaut to what God says we need to have to be successful Christian. Now, those people were doing it for an earthly cause. And they had, I'm just going to name them, then we're going to look at them in a practical way. I'm going to read 9 of them. It says, number 1, principle. Number 2 was selfless. Number 3 was discipline. Number 4 was courageous. Number 5 was inspired. Number 6 was confident. Number 7 is passionate. Number 8 is curious. And number 9 is tenacious. And I want to look at each one of those words. I want to make them practical in our Christian life. But these people connected with these character traits in order for them to be an astronaut that they could count on, that would follow through, and follow through unto the end. And God's asking us the same thing. He wants us to have these character traits that He can count on us and that we can follow through unto the end, that if God would write another Hebrews 11, that our name would be in there. Number 1, we have principle. And basically, what they did, I wish I could show you pictures. They had the word up, principled. Then they had a lot of different words defining what principled was. And just broke it down. They had words like being just, honest, and so on. Moral standards. They realized that a person to be faithful and have... being able to follow through with that kind of work need to have a moral code in their life. Just turn to Proverbs chapter 2. I wrote down the word integrity for principled, trustworthy, and virtuous. It says in Proverbs 2, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. He's saying, if you incline your ear, if you seek after, if you pursue, he says, then you're going to begin to understand. Then you're going to understand the fear of God, and you're going to understand God. And it says, for the God giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the ways of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. He said, if you follow me, if you pursue me and you love me, you apply the word of God to your life, he says, you're going to understand, and you're going to have a good path. You're going to be able to complete your calling. Principle. Embracing God's wisdom. I had came across a man's name that is not very well known in the Bible. We don't talk much about him. But there's a man in Ezekiel 38 that actually is the man that pulled Jeremiah out of the dungeon. Ebed-Melech. If you go to Jeremiah 38, verse 7, it says, when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, and one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord, the king, these men have done evil, and all that they have done to Jeremiah, the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. Ebed-Melech was a principled man. He was willing to call out evil. If you read the story of this time in Judah, it was a sad time. And the king didn't know what to stand on. It was just a few verses before these evil men came and said, you know, and were accusing Jeremiah. And the king said, go ahead and do with what you want. And they threw him in a dungeon. And a few days later, Ebed-Melech came along and said, king, this was evil. He had a moral code. He was principled. He called out evil. We have to be willing to call out evil, because we're principled people. We have a moral code. We're people of integrity. Number two, selfless is another one that they had in display. And it had words like helping and giving, teaching. Selfless, not focusing on self. You know, we studied that in Sunday school a bit, that being willing to sacrifice, willing to serve others, giving up self, giving the best away to benefit others. You know, recently we were just talking about that a little bit, and sometimes in our donations we give something that we feel like isn't good enough for ourselves. And so we go buy new, and then we donate our items to another cause. Like if a sofa isn't fit for me to sit on, I don't think I should donate it to Shepherd's Fold and expect them to sit on the sofa. You know, if the sofa's wore out. That selfless attitude. I remember a story that a missionary told me one time. They served in Guatemala. And he said one time they got a box. And in this box was tea bags. And it had on that they were only used one time. And it was quite amazing that somebody went to the work of drying these tea bags and sending them to the mission field. Why didn't they send new tea bags? Probably take three tea bags to brew a cup of tea because they were already used. But you see the principle of being selfless, desiring to give our best to others. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to donate clothing and so on, good clothing to a cause or items. But remember, if it's not good enough for me, why would I want to give it to my brother or my sister or some mission effort? Selfless. Prefer others above ourselves. You can look at Philippians 2, verses 4 through 8. Just gives a good example of Jesus. Ebed-Melech was also selfless in the fact that he made himself vulnerable to step out and call out evil. They could have thrown him in the dungeon. This was a hostile time. They were angry with Jeremiah, but he stepped out and called out evil and made himself vulnerable. He was selfless. Number three, discipline. Follow the rules. If you're going to be successful in a space program, they have to follow the rules. Every rule, down to the minute second or split second, so to speak. They followed the rules. And if somebody couldn't follow the rules, they could not be an astronaut. God calls us to follow the rules. He wants us to follow the rules. First Corinthians 9, just a scripture I want to read along with this, verse 24. Paul's testimony says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown." There he brings it out. There's people that are principled. There's people that are selfless. There's people that are disciplined and they follow the rules for a corruptible crown. But he's saying, we're doing it for an incorruptible crown. He says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertain, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I keep under my body and bring it into what? Into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul was a disciplined man. He was very disciplined. I think of church standards. You know, church is voluntary. You don't need to be part of this congregation. You don't need to be part of the Pilgrim Conference. It's all voluntary. But we have a decrees that we have that we has served us well, that we appreciate. I appreciate our decrees, and they're good for me. I need those decrees just to give me some guidance. It's not salvation, but we ask our people to follow the rules. People don't like rules. Our human nature don't like rules. We push against them. We resist them. But in Florida, in a space center, they went to the work to make a booth that cost them tens of thousands of dollars. And on that has discipline. And it says, you need to follow the rules in order to be an astronaut. Number four, being courageous. Following through when the going is hard. You know, we have Joshua, and I'm just, we're going to take the time to look at that. Joshua chapter 1. And the reason this is written, because they knew the going was going to get difficult. They knew it's going to be hard work to enter into the promised land. And this is why this is written. Joshua 1, verse 6, he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." And then verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." The reason these words were spoken to Joshua, because they knew it's going to be a hard work. It's going to be tempting to turn back. It's going to be tempting to give up and say it's too hard. And he's saying, be courageous. Just a couple Bible characters that I came across that, again, people that we don't think about a lot of being courageous, but they were very courageous. And that was the midwives in Exodus. in verses 15 through 18, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, in which the name of the one was Shipra, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of midwife to the Hebrew women, see them upon the stools. If thou be a son, then thou shalt kill him. But if he be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? These midwives were very courageous. They just flat did not listen to the king, because they were courageous to stand for what was right. In order to be courageous, we need to be connected to our Heavenly Father. We need a power source. Remember, we're being courageous because we have an eternal reward, not a temporal reward. Ebed-Melech was not a coward in his day. The pressure that he faced to stand up against the king and to stand with Jeremiah was huge. He was very courageous. Number five is inspired. Inspiration. Are we people of inspiration? Just like that phone call that I talked about, this man that called me, and he was inspired because God did a work in his life. He was inspired because he had a relationship with the Lord and he wanted to talk about it. This morning, are we inspired because of what God has did for us? Or are we just kind of so used to it, we just take it for granted? Or are we inspired because we're the saints of the Lord and we love him and we want to be faithful to him? Do we have an inspiration? In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Being an inspiration needs to be foundation on the Lord. We need to commit our life on the Lord. We need to trust him. We need to lean not on our own understanding. Mordecai was a man that was inspired. He said, for such a time as this, he was inspired to do something about the situation that they were in. Inspiration. Many times, people that we read about in the Bible that were inspired, we're living in very dangerous times. And they could have just chosen to just step in the sidelines and just kind of go along with the flow. But that inspiration, they said, this isn't right. This is what we need to do. Inspiration. I think of David when he saw Goliath and he had an inspiration that is there not a cause? And Eliab accused him of wrong motives. And he said, no, is there not a cause? He had an inspiration to do something for the kingdom of God. And it's just a very inspiring story if you look at David and Goliath. We know that very much by memory. But being inspired is so important. Another one is number six, is being confident. Words like security. Knowing if you follow through with the rules, there'll be a certain outcome. And I know that we don't know for certain, but as they put a space program together, and as they study and as they set that space program up, and they know, and it's all based on the fact that God is a creator, and it actually can study and know where things are in space and time wise and so on, and how they can actually, you know, to think that they can go in space and join up to a space station is just almost mind boggling. But they have studied it out based on God's creation that if they follow the rules, they can have an expected outcome. And it's amazing how successful they are. But they need to, they have this confidence, but it's based on following the rules. It's following the standards that they set up. And so, and they have that level of security. Now, sure, there's it's always in God's hands. And like I said earlier, there's a couple of space shuttles blew up, and they studied out and they figured out why. It was man's failure. There was man's creation that, or man's failure in how they made things, and so on. So there's confidence. We can have confidence when we follow God and His rules. We can know that there's an expected outcome. We can know that if we serve God and we're faithful, that when our life on earth is finished, that He'll take us home. We have the confidence of our loved ones that pass on. There was just a funeral here this past week, and they have the confidence that dear sister went home to be with the Lord. How? She followed the rules, followed the book. I had to think of Noah. God came to him and told him to build the ark. And he followed God's direction for 120 years. He just followed God. Just did what God said. He had confidence that what God said was true. Having confidence. It says, then did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Number 7, being passionate, strong, godly emotions, having a zeal for the Lord. I think that something that we can grow in, something I can grow in, just to be enthused about the things of God and having a zeal to promote truth and talk to people about Jesus and that people know that we're Christians and having that passion, being earnest. Bible talks about being earnest. A lot of times we use passions in the negative. You know, people have passions and they use them for their own selfish interests. I'm talking about being passionate to serve God, to love Him. And they know that to have an astronaut, they need to be passionate about their cause. They got to have it. They're all in. All in. They're not partially over here and have some distracted interest. It's all in being an astronaut. Very passionate. Do we have it all in to be God's people? Colossians 3. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Do it heartily to the Lord, not being slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Ebed-Melech, that faithful man that took out Jeremiah out of the dungeon, he was passionate. It took some work. They had to go get some old rags, and they didn't want to injure Jeremiah, and they had a cause. They didn't get distracted. As soon as the king gave them that commandment to go ahead, they went and did it and accomplished it and saved Jeremiah's life. Number 8, being curious. And add words like being interested, desiring to know. This morning, there's a negative side of being curious, and there's a positive side of being curious. Romans 16:19 says, I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. This morning, we can get caught up in this trap that we're curious and we want to know about the evil that's going out there. We want to know how they practice evil. And the news can have all that kind of thing. And you can pick up all kinds of reading literature that will talk about all the evil that people do. And if we're not careful, it feeds our sensual desire. And God says, I want you curious on the things of God, not the things of evil. We don't need to know what all goes on in the world and the lust of the flesh and so on. Simple concerning evil. We need to be like the people in the book of Acts. Acts 17. The Bereans. And these were more noble. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searching the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Desiring to know truth. Don't just go by what your preachers may say. We really desire to preach truth, and we desire to take God's word and make it alive. But we want you to search it out. We want you to desire to know. Stay connected. Know what you believe. Study the word. When somebody asks you a question, that you know how to answer that question. Why we do what we do. Many times I've been able to answer those questions and they connect and say, yeah, that's right. We understand. They didn't know. But we need to know. We need to know why we live like we do. Read God's word. Apply it to your daily life. Many times Jesus use parables. We enjoy the many parables in God in the book of the Jesus writings. Actually, not Jesus writings. Jesus teachings in the Gospels, and he used parables. And I often wonder why Jesus did that. But he wanted to raise question in people's minds that they would pursue and they would want to know. And there's times that he would take his disciples along and he said, "Now, do you know what this parable means?" And they say, "No, we don't know." And he would explain it. It got them thinking. It caused curiosity. I can just only imagine this the in the communities when Jesus said a parable and they would go home and they would sit around in the family room and discuss the parable that Jesus was talking about and wondering what was he trying to say? What was he meaning? That's what I do when I read the Bible and I read those parables. And I wonder sometimes, what's he teaching here? And we search it out. Number 9, the last one, tenacious. That's a word that we don't use very much. But it's a very practical word. It just means endurance, not easily pulled apart. Another word could be meekness. And I think of Moses. I think of Moses being in the wilderness and you know, for 40 years with a stiff-necked people, difficult people, people that murmured, people that made it hard for him. But yet he was, as we read those stories, we see him being a man, a tenacious man, not easily pulled apart. On occasion, we know that he smote the rock when he should have spoke to the rock. That was where it was a failure. He made a failure there. He was pulled apart at that point. But they knew that when they teach astronauts, that these people dare not be pulled apart. When things come to them in surprises or something happens and there's an issue, that they can stay focused and they can work through it and find a solution to the problem. That's being tenacious. And I think of people in the Bible. I think of verses like James 1. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, not being pulled apart. I think of Job. I think of a man that endured tremendous amount of stress, tremendous amount of disappointment, heartache, even so that his wife told him to give up. But we don't see a man that was pulled apart. He kept his focus, and it says, in all this, Job sinned not. I think of Jonathan, David's friend, and living under the pressure of an evil king and the pursuit of killing David, and how Jonathan stood by him and was just a steady friend. He wasn't pulled apart. Jeremiah himself was tenacious. He just, I read through those number of chapters, he just steadily preached the word of God and taught, even with lots of resistance. And he just kept saying the truth. They didn't like it. They wanted to remove him because they blamed him for their problems. So I asked you in closing, who are your heroes? And also, flipping that question to the other side, is what type of hero am I? Or you? As a father, as you raise your children and as they follow you, what do they see? Do they see an angry father? A selfish father? A lustful father? And they're to look up to you? Or do they see a godly father? A father that's patient and loving and kind and knows how to live in victory. To be successful, that's what we need to be. You know, they knew that in order for an astronaut to follow through with that mission that they were called on, they needed to have these character traits. Mothers, as your daughters are following you, what do they see? What are you drawn to? A simple life? A life that helps your daughter be humble and not focus on themselves and push them out front so everybody can see them, and we can use all kinds of forms to do that? Or do you want your daughter to be humble and simple and grateful and pleasant and grow up and be a virtuous woman? What type of mother are you? If you go to Matthew 25, maybe you closed your Bibles already. I'm in my closing point. I'll be done shortly. But Matthew 25, I'm often inspired with this scripture. It talks about people that serve God and just served him selflessly. Their focus wasn't on themselves. It wasn't focused on, look at what I'm doing and pushing themselves out. It was just simply serving God. In verse 37, he says,
Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, and or thirsting, gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall ye say also unto them to the left, and I'll stop there. But these people just served God. It was their natural way of serving. It was their way of life. It was their pattern. It was their habit to serve God and faithful. And then when God said, well, you did this and did, they didn't even remember because it was their normal life. It's just like when you drive down the road, you don't always remember if you stopped at the red light or not, but you did because it's your pattern. And that's how these people were serving. And you know what, brothers and sisters, when we serve like that, we become heroes for God's kingdom. And maybe we don't even know we're a hero. We don't want to even know that we're a hero. But as we go on in life and you serve and you're faithful and you die and you go on to your eternal reward, and as people remember you, they say, you know what? He was my hero. Or she was my hero. Remember, we are someone's hero. What character qualities do we want them to admire? Let's kneel for prayer.